Good afternoon. It's nearly 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday News. Thank you for listening to KMXT on 100.1 FM. It's your public radio station, broadcasting from atop Signal Hill, overlooking downtown Kodiak, where it's 32 degrees right now. They're calling for mostly sunny skies. They've been calling for them all day. We really haven't seen them. High near 40 today. It's 32 now, so we're maybe calling for that all day, too. South wind to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 25 today. Slight chance of rain and snow between 9 p.m. and 3 a.m. tonight. Mostly cloudy skies overnight with a low around 34. South wind to 5, becoming northwest after midnight. Coming up on the midday news, Alaska sets a new record for COVID cases. Fairbanks historian Terrence Cole has died. And Alaska Governor Mike Dunleavy unveils his budget. That and more after national headline news.
Live from NPR News, I'm Lakshmi Singh. The death toll from COVID-19 is now at a level many public health officials in the United States had been fearing for months. It now stands above 300,000. Johns Hopkins University has just updated its count. Here's NPR's Will Stone.
The 300,000 mark is an astonishing generational tragedy that is only expected to grow in the coming months. By early February, more people will have died from COVID-19 than American soldiers in World War II. Universal wearing of face masks could save tens of thousands of lives by April.
Will Stone reporting, there is hope. The recently authorized COVID-19 vaccine from Pfizer and BioNTech is being rolled out to the general public, starting with healthcare workers. And many hospitals nationwide are barely able to keep up with the influx of COVID patients in the meantime. Blake Farmer of member station WPLN in Nashville reports nearly 110,000 people are sick in American hospitals.
There was a time when only hospitals in COVID-19 hotspots were overcrowded, but now it's from California to Florida. Mark Tankersley is a flight nurse based in Tennessee who's been treating COVID patients from rural hospitals without critical care capabilities. Normally, they'd be flown to medical centers in Nashville. Not now.
Nashville has reached maximum capacity for their bed space, so now we're having to utilize some of our larger rural hospitals to transfer patients from some of our smaller rural hospitals.
Capacity's tight because so many nurses and doctors are out themselves because of COVID. That's one reason they're first in line for the vaccine, so hospitals can at least have healthy employees as they face the greatest test of the pandemic thus far. For NPR News, I'm Blake Farmer in Nashville.
Congress is coming under more pressure to pass another coronavirus relief package. Details from NPR's Windsor Johnston.
The Chamber of Commerce is urging lawmakers to pass a limited relief package if they can't agree on liability protections for businesses and additional federal aid for state and local governments, two of the biggest sticking points. In a statement, the chamber said a partial agreement is better than no agreement. Congressional leaders have discussed attaching the next relief measure to a larger spending plan that will keep the government funded through next year. The current proposal includes additional aid for small businesses and an extension of extra weekly unemployment benefits. Lawmakers have until Friday to reach an agreement, or millions of Americans could lose those benefits at the end of the year. Windsor Johnston, NPR News, Washington.
Members of the Electoral College are carrying out a constitutional duty to formalize the results of the presidential election to affirm Joe Biden's victory. In Lansing, Michigan this afternoon, it was democracy in action.
The electors have unanimously cast 16 votes for Joseph R. Biden.
Electors in 50 states and the District of Columbia gathered today. You're listening to NPR News.
NPR News is presentada a usted en parte por la Providence Kodiak Island Centro de Asesoramiento. Para una cita o más información, por favor, llama al 907-481-2400.
Saturday's update from the Kodiak Emergency Operations Center reported 17 new cases of COVID-19 for the Kodiak Island Borough. Two of these cases were tested on the 8th, 11 of them were tested on the 10th, and four new cases were tested on the 11th. Sadly, one new death has been reported for the Kodiak community. This brings the current case count associated with the Kodiak Island Borough to 682. 275 cases are classified as active locally. To date, there have been a total number of 27 local hospitalizations and 3 deaths associated with COVID-19. 5 patients are currently hospitalized in Kodiak, and 1 individual was transported off-island on Friday for a higher level of care. Alaska set the record for the number of COVID-19-related deaths reported in a single day on Saturday, when health officials announced that 18 Alaskans had died of the disease. 5 of the deaths were recent, while the rest occurred over the last month but weren't reported until Saturday. The state has reported an average of more than 2 COVID-related deaths per day over the last 7 days as death rates increase. Anchorage Health Department epidemiologist Dr. Janet Johnston said at a Friday press conference that the recent rise in deaths was anticipated given the elevated case counts over the past 4 to 6 weeks. The state continues to report 500 or more new COVID-19 cases per day. Alert levels at every region of the state remain high. Fairbanks historian Terrence Cole has died. Cole succumbed to cancer at home in Fairbanks, surrounded by family, on Saturday. Both scholarly and affable, Terrence Cole was a beloved and respected professor at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, where he taught for 30 years and penned key works about Alaska. KUAC's Robert Hannon has this report.
Terrence Cole and his identical twin brother Dermot were born 67 years ago and raised on a rural Pennsylvania farm. Their father, an engineer, believed in hard work and discipline and instilled those values in his 6 children. In sometimes unique ways, says Dermot.
He was a tough character in some ways. Thought we weren't tough enough, so after church on Sundays, we would have to box in the living room with a makeshift boxing ring.
The Coles also experienced tragedy when their mother died of breast cancer when the twins were 9 years old.
It was a traumatic event, and it made more so by the decision to never, ever talk about it.
But the twins say their father also believed in education, and all the children would eventually pursue college and professional careers. In fact, it was the oldest brother, Pat's search for a school that would draw several of the Coles north to Fairbanks and the University of Alaska.
UAF was a good bargain, I think, as it is today, frankly. And he looked at the out-of-state tuition and what he could afford and, you know, hatched this plan coming up here. So he came up here with his girlfriend.
And
from,
Terrence.
Terrence. I was the substitute for the girlfriend because she couldn't come.
Pat Dermot and Terrence all thrived at UAF and set down roots in the community. Pat would eventually become a city and borough administrator. Dermot pursued journalism, becoming a popular reporter and columnist for the Fairbanks Daily News Miner. And Terrence followed history. He received his doctorate at the University of Washington, even as he worked as an editor at Alaska Northwest Publishing. He says that dual experience influenced his approach to history.
They wanted to do a book on Nome, and I thought, well, okay, I can do a dissertation on Nome, but I never told the publishing company I was doing my dissertation on Nome, and I never told the university I was also writing a book on Nome. You know, the university would say, well, it's not serious enough, and the publisher would say, well, it's too serious.
Terrence returned to UAF in 1988 as a history professor. One of his students, Mary Erlander, also became an historian and eventually a colleague at the school. She says his ability to write clearly and compellingly without jargon is a hallmark of his style.
He really is a narrative historian and has always emphasized the story because, as he has said to our students, that is what differentiates humans from every other animal. It's that we tell stories.
Besides writing a series of books about notable Alaskan institutions and personalities, Terrence served on the board of University of Alaska Press. Nate Bauer directs the press, and he says Terrence Cole's engaging style sometimes overshadowed his serious scholarship.
He was a special series editor for our classic reprint series for a lot of years, and he brought just a remarkable amount of research about the history and the development of Alaska in the 19th and 20th centuries. None of his work as a scholar was lightweight.
Terrence's lively, engaging style was also reflected in his teaching, although he admitted it sometimes led to unexpected problems.
Largely, I would set the classes up
so that people didn't know what I was going to do next. Now, this is sometimes a problem when you forget what you're going to do next, which was sometimes what happened to me. I get so carried off in the bit that I was doing.
Nonetheless, he received awards for his teaching and contributions to history, often along with his brother Dermot, who has also authored notable books. 3 years ago, Terence was diagnosed with inoperable gastric cancer. Throughout his illness, he retained his humor and continued to work on his next book. On the occasion of his retirement at UAF 2 years ago, he found solace in the writing life.
I heard an author one time who referred to his books on the shelf as his colleagues. And when you make your contribution to the literature, that you're in a conversation across the ages. I like the idea of being in the conversation with people even after you're gone. When you have a longer frame of time reference, because our lives are also short, that's the best we can do, is just put our little piece into the conversation.
Terence is survived by his wife, Gay Salisbury, and 3 children, Henry, Desmond, and Elizabeth. In Fairbanks, I'm Robert Hannon.
This just in from the Emergency Operations Center. The Kodiak EOC is unable to report new cases at this time as local public health staff are working to compile new case information received over the weekend. Updated information will be provided in the EOC report tomorrow. To date, there have been a total number of 28 local hospitalizations and 3 deaths associated with COVID-19. 4 patients are currently hospitalized in Kodiak. They go on to add, as we move into the holiday season, take a moment to consider how you might modify your plans to help keep your friends, family, and fellow community members safe. Be mindful of the people included in your social bubble. Try to limit gatherings to only members of your household if possible. Consider small, socially distanced outdoor gatherings, and remember to wear a mask. The Department of Health is urging anyone who receives a positive test to notify their own close contacts as soon as possible, so individuals can quarantine without delay. Once notified, close contacts should immediately quarantine and follow CDC guidance for quarantine options. The COVID virus is spreading quickly in our community, so please take appropriate precautions to keep yourself and our community healthy. Wear a mask when in public. There is a mask mandate in effect. Stay home if you're not feeling well. When planning travel, plan for a few days off at home and testing before returning to normal activities in case you have carried the virus with you. And limit social gatherings and maintain 6 feet of distance between yourself and others who are not in your household. On Friday, Alaska Governor Mike Dunleavy proposed a budget that would cut state spending on government services, but would also pay out nearly $5,000 in permanent fund dividends. It relies on drawing from the Alaska Permanent Fund's earnings to pay both for most of state government and for 2 PFD payments. The total draw of $6.3 billion is more than twice the amount allowed under state law. Dunleavy emphasized the need to stabilize Alaska's economy.
We have thousands and thousands of Alaskans on unemployment. We want to make sure that we're not going to add to the unemployment rolls, but we're going to do the opposite.
The governor also proposed borrowing up to $350 million to upgrade the state's roads, bridges, airports, and other infrastructure. The budget includes cuts to Medicaid, and for public education, a $21 million cut there. It also reduces spending on highways, aviation, and transportation facilities by $13 million and includes a previously planned cut to the University of Alaska of $20 million. The Medicaid cut was $35 million. Dunleavy says it's important for the future of the state's economy and the budget that Alaska develops its natural resources.
There are folks that really don't want that to happen. They want Alaska to be one of the largest parks in the country.
In addition to paying nearly $5,000 in dividends, Dunleavy also proposed changing the dividend formula for 2022. Under the new formula, they would be less than under the formula in current law, but more than Alaskans have received in the last 5 years. Dunleavy says any change should be subject to approval by a vote by Alaskans. He also wants to amend the state constitution to require a public vote on any new taxes.
If we really want to have a sustainable fiscal plan, you cannot ignore the people of Alaska.
You cannot ignore the very people that vote for us and send us here.
Legislators from both chambers responded to Dunleavy's proposal with caution. House Speaker Bryce Edgman, a Dillingham independent, says he thinks there will be support for the proposed transportation bond, but he says there are time constraints when conducting a legislative session during a pandemic. That will limit the amount of time they have to consider Dunleavy's proposals. He says he wishes the governor had approached lawmakers sooner.
The legislature in the upcoming session, because of the pandemic, is going to have one hand tied behind its back. It would have been very instrumental, I think, very helpful to have had discussions with the Dunleavy administration leading up to the unveiling of what appears to be a pretty ambitious agenda for what could be a highly compromised legislative session that will be very much focused on the budget.
Sitka Republican Senator Bert Stedman says it will take significant policy changes to reduce spending. He says the legislature should consider the effect of COVID-19 on Alaska's economy as it weighs Dunleavy's proposal. But Stedman also is concerned that the plan would draw more from the Permanent Fund's earnings than the legislature and the Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation have planned.
We need to take a look at the budget in more detail. But it does not go unnoticed that an overdraw of the Permanent Fund creates havoc on the fund itself. And it has impacts that go in perpetuity.
The legislature will consider the budget when it reconvenes on January 19th. This next story is especially for anyone who was laid off or for anyone or any reason lost their employer-sponsored health insurance. You have less than 40 hours to check out the insurance marketplace and sign up for medical insurance coverage. As KUAC's Robin reports, for many Alaskans, it will be free.
The deadline for signing up for free or subsidized medical insurance is just after midnight on Tuesday.
We are very concerned that people that had employer-sponsored health insurance lost it in the recent layoffs due to the pandemic.
That's Lori Wingheyer, Alaska's Director of Insurance. She wants people to check out the plans today on the website, healthcaremarketplace.com. Alaska has lost nearly 30,000 jobs since people have stopped traveling or eating indoors to avoid getting sick during the pandemic. According to the Department of Labor, about 3,600 of those jobs are in the interior. Many of those people have no medical insurance.
This time when we're going through a pandemic and we are seeing people, you know, that are, you've seen our case count and the positives and the hospitalizations, you don't want to see anybody without insurance right now.
Wingheyer says there's been so much discussion about the cost of insurance, Alaskans might not know about the huge discounts when they buy their own directly from the Marketplace website.
So, and it's dependent upon income. So if someone has lost their job and doesn't have a high income right now, there's a good chance they could be getting the insurance for next to nothing.
The discount comes from an advance premium tax credit. It's in effect a subsidy, where the federal government pays for most or all of the cost of insurance, depending on your income.
You might be able to get a silver plan for less than you'd pay for a bronze plan without the subsidy, if that makes any sense. We really encourage people to get in there and play around.
All right. I will go to the Marketplace website, and I will plug in some figures here. I'm using the 2019 median household income for Alaska. That's about $77,000. And a household of two adults and two children. And what pops up are silver plans from MOTA and Blue Cross Blue Shield of Alaska. They're about $500 a month to cover those four people. But for the bronze plans, zero. They are effectively free.
All plans have the same essential health benefits, but you're going to look at a difference in deductible, and you're going to look at a difference in the copay.
Alaska's Division of Insurance has been trying to get the word out about Tuesday's deadline to apply for insurance coverage.
The funding was cut for the governments, the federal or the state, to do any advertising. We have tried to do a little bit of a grassroots campaign on our Facebook page.
And not to be confusing, but Wingheyer says, for us, the Marketplace deadline is actually closer to 1 a.m. on Wednesday. Alaska and Hawaii get an extra hour to accept applications. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
Healthcare providers at all three clinics in the Delta Junction area are mostly back on the job today after several were quarantined last month for testing positive for coronavirus, and a few are recovering from full-blown cases of COVID-19. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
Seven people in the Delta Junction area tested positive for coronavirus last week, according to the local COVID-19 task force. That's down from 27 over the previous week and way down from 51 the three clinics reported in mid-November, when many of those testing positive were people who work at the clinics.
I would say one-third of our employees get sick. They got it basically from the sick patients.
Serge Domas is the Interior Alaska Medical Clinic's business administrator, and he said Friday it's not surprising that so many staffers had tested positive for the virus, because until this week those numbers had been rising since October.
4 to 5 people positive COVID every single day. This has been for 2 months now, and it's not been slowing down.
Domas says all the staff are back on the job now, including himself, after he had to be hospitalized for treatment of COVID-19.
You know, I did have pneumonia in my lungs with the COVID, and I wasn't put on ventilator, but, you know, I had to, you know, have a blood transfusions and all sorts of stuff. Honestly, I thought I'm not going to make it.
Domas says the clinic had to cut back on its hours for a few days last month while staff were away in quarantine or being treated. He says the clinic's now returned to its usual schedule, but it's strictly enforcing precautions now, like no longer allowing walk-ins without appointments and carefully screening patients before they enter. That's basically what the other clinic in town had to do after its staff was hard hit by the virus.
We've had about half of our staff that has at one time or the other been having to go home because of the exposure to COVID.
Dr. Ray Andreasen says that hasn't required the Family Medical Center to cut back on its hours, but it did help convince him to set up a drive-up testing facility that should help limit the clinic's health care providers from exposure to the virus.
We have an area by the emergency entrance in the back, and pull up at the park, we go out and do the testing.
The Fort Greely Medical Clinic closed on November 30th for deep cleaning after at least one staffer there tested positive for COVID, and it was left shorthanded when that person and much of the staff had to be quarantined. A spokesperson for Fort Wainwright's Medical Department activity says it sent three staffers to keep Greely's clinic operating, along with one from Madigan Army Medical Center at Joint Base Lewis-McChord, just outside Seattle. Domas and Andreasen both say they're encouraged that the number of local cases fell last week, but Domas says he thinks too many people in the area still aren't taking the virus seriously.
It wasn't fun, you know. People should not take that lightly. There's definitely threat of life.
In Delta, I'm Tim Ellis.
KMXT Local News is underwritten in part by
GCI. GCI has adjusted store hours across the state to keep our customers and employees as safe as possible during this time. The most up-to-date store hours are available on GCI.com.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. It's good for me and good for the planet. It's a winning message for Alaska seafood. More after this.
An AMSI-trained fisherman is more likely to survive an emergency at sea. Learn more at AMSI.org.
What messages are most likely to make consumers buy and eat more seafood?
What we know now is that the consumer not only wants a product that's good for them, but also good for the planet.
Michael Cohan, Technical Program Director for the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, says ASME pinned down that message from a global survey.
And we found out that 35% of consumers are actually eating more seafood. And when we asked those consumers why, they actually identified aspects or attributes of Alaska seafood found in our tagline, wild, natural, and sustainable.
Wild resonates in terms of quality, and natural was seen in Alaska's pristine environment. Consumers said they want to be able to choose a pure source of protein as part of a healthier diet. Sustainability definitions vary by person and region, Cohan says, but seafood origins and jobs are highly valued.
The U.S. consumers in this survey thought that the origin of the seafood, knowing where their seafood was from, was important, as well as by purchasing seafood, they were supporting American jobs.
ASME believes the already winning wild, natural natural and good for the planet messages give Alaska seafood an advantage in world markets. ASME will build on the quality, nutrition, and sustainability themes, Cohan says, and personalize outreach by telling people why Alaska seafood is good for them and what body parts get the most benefit. She points out that ASME is becoming more involved in research that applies Alaska seafood to nutrition.
For instance, ASME is working with the industry to be able to understand if omega-3 content from DHA and EPA fatty acids in Alaska wild salmon is important or can affect the pain that's triggered by inflammation for breast cancer survivors.
ASME also is making full use of seafood a part of Alaska's sustainability message. Find links at alaskafishradio.com. Fish Radio is also brought to you by OBI Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon and welcome to your Island Messenger for Monday. It is December 14th, the year 2020. Sun rose today at 9:47 this morning, and it will set again at 4:21 this afternoon, giving us 6 hours and 34 minutes of precious daylight. That is a loss of a mere 1 minute and 4 seconds compared to yesterday. Looking at our local tides, we have a high tide coming up at 12:58 this afternoon. That's going to be a big one, 11.2-foot tide here on the east side. That's going to be followed by a low tide at 7:52 this evening, a minus tide, minus 2.1 feet, and your next high tide will be at 2:24 a.m. That will be an 8-foot tide, followed by a low tide at 7:34 a.m. tomorrow morning of 2.35 feet, and your high tide for tomorrow afternoon here on the east side, another big one, 11.2 feet. Over on the west side, and these are your Gannett Pass tides, you have a high tide coming up at 1:33 p.m., an 18.1-foot tide, followed by a low tide at 8:18 this evening of minus 3.77 feet. Your high tide for the wee hours will be at 2:42 a.m., 16.2 feet. And your low tide for tomorrow morning on the Euganic Bay east side will be at 1.7 feet at 8:25 in the morning. Your next high tide on the west side will be at 2:19 tomorrow afternoon, an 18-foot tide. 32 degrees out there right now. Pretty pleasant, but we're not seeing the mostly sunny skies so much. We were looking for a high near 40. Slight chance of rain and snow tonight between 9 a.m. or 9 p.m. and 3 a.m. Mostly cloudy skies overnight with a low of about 34. For tomorrow, they're calling for cloudy skies, gradually becoming mostly sunny with a high near 39. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy skies, a low near 31, west wind to 15 miles per hour. And on Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, high near 40, west wind to 10 miles per hour. Mariners, here is your synopsis for the North Gulf Coast, including Kodiak Island waters and Cook Inlet. A surface trough over the Gulf will approach Prince William Sound Monday morning, then move inland and dissipate. A front will enter the southern Gulf Monday night and persist through Tuesday. An area of low pressure will linger over the northern Gulf between Tuesday afternoon and Wednesday morning. Sounds like a motley crew. Your weather is going to be small craft advisory through Tuesday for Marmot Island to Sitkanat, Kodiak's east side offshore. Southwest wind to 25 knots right now, should diminish to 15 knots this afternoon, seas to 8 feet tonight. For tomorrow, look for west wind to 20 knots and seas to 11 feet. Over on the west side in the Shelikof Strait, small craft advisory today with southwest winds to 25 knots, becoming south 15 this afternoon, seas to 8 feet, subsiding to 4 feet this afternoon. For tomorrow, look for variable 10, becoming west 20 tomorrow afternoon and seas to 4 feet. All are invited to lift your voices and sing along with the school district music faculty for the Kodiak Island Children's Christmas Concert. Gather the whole family, dress in your finest or funniest holiday wear, and sing along at home on Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. with the music played right here on KMXT. Find more information and the lyrics to the songs on the district's website. That's at kibsd.org. Just look for the Singing Children on the far left side of the page. And again, that's Wednesday night, 7 p.m., right here at KMXT. Look on the school district's website for details.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT 2 times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. and during the midday report at 12:20. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.